Galatians chapter 3, please. I have notes this morning. If I could have three or four men help me, that would be nice. Do I have three or four men? There comes one, two. Thank you. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 24. Cliffy, you gave too many notes or something.
I got it for both ends.
Jennifer can't read, so when she finished that master's degree, she quit reading. That was enough. By the way, if you don't know, just use your notes. Everything is in the notes, okay? By the way, you have notes this morning for this reason. Everybody that has notes, look here. This is the reason I gave you notes. You don't need them. The sermon is very simple. I have the notes for you to be able to use with other people about the question of baptism. So there's going to be some bullet points under baptism, and some Christians can't think very clearly. This will just boom, 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 with a bunch of verses, okay? Let's stand, please. Again, if you can't find Galatians 3 in your Bibles, all the verses are in the notes, starting in verse 24. Now, friends, if you listen, you're going to learn something in the introduction that will come to play a little bit later when it comes to baptism, okay? Things connect. I think I've said that before. Verse 24, wherefore the law, the King James says, was our schoolmaster. That is a word, paedagogos. You say, I have no idea what that means. Look at me, please. I am one. I now understand it in living color. The King James focused on one small element of this word, the educational aspect. But literally the Greek word means to this. Look at me, please. Taking a child and leading a child someplace. And that individual would both lead the child, talk to the child, educate the child, get the child from home to wherever the tutor was, and once you got the child to the tutor, then you would review on the way back home. You say, how does this you, Pastor Warren, every Thursday? My grandson, one day a week. Both of my grandsons are perfect. One's more perfect than the other. I'll let you figure out which is the least of these two anyhow. I pick him up from Sister Renee, my good daughter. He gets his backpack. I take his backpack, and now he'll say, Bumpa, hold my hand. I walk him through the doors. I walk him around the front. I walk him up to the car. I open the car. I put him in the car seat, and I snap him in. I then drive him to where Amy and Jared live. A van picks him up. Look at me. I am this guy. Do you know what the purpose of the law is? Look at me in the eyes. Take you by the hand. And get you to what? To Christ. That's it. But the first part of that word you're going to hear again under baptism later. So let's start again. Everybody understand the word? When you translate, it's hard to translate a lot of ideas. This was the function of a person in the family. The law was our schoolmaster, or the one that brings us to the, you know, Christ. Deals, you know, trains you, disciplines you, guides you for the purpose of to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified, how? By faith. But after that faith has come, we by the way, I'm assuming someday Evan doesn't need me to hold his hand. The law has a purpose for a believer. One of its big purposes is to get you to Christ and to show you that you're a sinner, to demonstrate your sinfulness so you know only Christ is the only hope you have. Verse 26, 4. Verse 26 is explaining verse 24 and 25. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27 adds to that. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I'll come back to that later. There, this is like a conclusion. There is neither Jew nor Greek. By the way, you didn't stop being Jewish or Greek, but that doesn't matter. There is neither bond nor free. Your social economic status doesn't matter. There is neither male nor female. In one sense, your male or female-ishness doesn't matter. Why? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. This morning is a very simple sermon. Welcome to the family of God. What we're going to talk about this morning is how you get in the family, what you do when you're in the family, and what does that mean to be part of the family? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Father, help me as I try to share some very simple ideas. Bless this time, I ask in Jesus' name. You may be seated. 2016, I received a call sometime in 2016 and asked me if I would like two things. Dr. Marriott called me and said, number one, would you like to speak at Maranatha? Now, some guys wait their whole life to speak in an important place. Other guys, that scares them to death. You know, there's lots of factors. By the way, if I brought certain people here and they looked out at you, they would be scared to death. Sadly, they wouldn't understand what they really should be scared to death about. But, you know, every place is different. Well, I said, if you want me to, I'm not going to tell you what I told him, but I said, you do understand that I am something. And he said, yes, I know that. Okay. We talked, and then he said, by the way, we would like to honor you. He says, would you all be interested in that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, honor you with an honorary doctorate. And I'm like, what? Well, that's all beautiful and wonderful, but here's the story. I get to Maranatha. Where's Timothy Tom at? Is he over here? Timothy, Mr. Tim, do you know Dr. Anderson? His family. Have you met his wife, his children? You've seen them. The day I got my doctorate, Dr. Anderson, which is the president of Maranatha today, his son graduated with his bachelor's degree in theology from Maranatha. So that means his son was about 22. I saw it on there. I knew Dr. Anderson. He pastored out north of Rockford, pretty close to Wisconsin, way out in a small city. I knew him. I'd met him a time or two. Nice guy. Didn't know anything about him, but I knew his son was graduating. So, you know, I was happy for him. And Jenny and I were walking in, or it was probably Jenny and I and John and Amy, whoever, a bunch of us walked in. And as we walked in, I saw Dr. Anderson. I don't know that I knew he was that at the time, but I saw him. And his wife and I kind of went, because I believe in 2016 his wife was carrying, it was either a baby or a little bitty child. Normally people don't have college graduates and babies. And I thought, well, that's a different kind of family. You know, that's one of those, by the way, they had two little children. One caboose is bad, two cabooses is really bad. And I don't think that term works in here. Cultural stuff, folks, sorry. A caboose means, you know, you have your children, and then 10 years later, you get blessed again with a caboose baby. I thought that was strange. Now, later on, by the way, do you know the story? Dr. Anderson's first wife died. So he has an older set of children. I don't know, one or two or three. I don't know. And then he remarried years later and has a younger children. Now, we have another weird family. If a miracle happens, they'll be here at Missions Conference. And this is a miracle on many levels because of our State Department, basically. We have a family we support in Peru, Trujillo. The Stein family. Show us a picture, please. You know Echo? By the way, Echo, when she was a little bitty girl right out of Maranatha, taught for us for 2 years. I don't know who this ugly guy is that dragged her away from here, but by the way, have you ever been, do you know how short Caleb Stein is? I mean, I'm reasonable, you know, I'm not tall, but I'm 6'2". This is Caleb Stein. Go ahead, next photo. Those are his children. Does something look weird to you? Next photo. Now, that's not all the family. That's just the ones that are home now. I think there's a daughter there, too. You see the two? Is something wrong? Next photo. That's my favorite. By the way, they got two boys that are like 6'5". I think Caleb's 6'7", I think. And the two boys are like 6'5", 6'6". Poor Echo looks like a midget, and she's actually fairly tall. Go ahead. Now, what you don't know is the two little kids are as old as the other kid. Go ahead. I put this up here for our Spanish speakers. They're getting ready to come to America. It's really nicely worded. Thank you for your prayers for Joe, Jack, and Emily, for our vacation in, and I love this, Gringo Land. They're coming to America. By the way, the two little kids can't come to America because they don't, oh, I forgot to tell you, they've been adopted into the family. They're Peruvian. Go to the next picture. You get to see a little bit of the size. What do you think? By the way, that little girl, when she grows up, is going to be half the size of Caleb. Caleb is a monster. Look at the size of those guys. Can I say that? Welcome to the family of God. Let's go. Is there any other photos? There's a picture of them getting ready to leave. Beautiful children. Any others, Tom, or is that it? All right. By the way, look at me, friend. What's the family of God look like? How do you get in the family of God? What does it mean to be part of the family of God? Those are our questions this morning. I hope you get to meet those two little ones. They adopted a brother and a sister. My friend, I have in your notes under the verses, the family of God is multi-everything. It's multicultural, multilingual, multi-ethnic, multi-geographical, multi-anything you can imagine. The family of God includes all of it. But the question is, how does this work? And for the Apostle Paul from another book, this is an overwhelming truth for Paul. He says, for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven, meaning those that have already gone to be with the Lord, and on earth is named. We're all part of the family of God. But how so? Well, we begin very simply. We get in or into the family, and I left off a word, by faith alone. Every single person becomes a family member by faith alone. Sparky, I would have put your family here, but your photos are so old that I didn't know for sure if anybody would recognize you. Because, by the way, Ms. Debelak grew up in how many were adopted, Sparky? Four, and how many did they have? One, so there's five total, or was. By the way, hard things, but two were adopted from Korea, correct? One was adopted from Jamaica, and one was adopted from Michigan. By the way, it's beautiful to see a family. Our family looks like that, but look at me. They were adopted by two parents that wanted to have a broader family. Guess what? Every single person that's part of the family of God gets there exactly the same way. We get in or into the family by faith alone. Look what Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 24. For you are all children of God, regardless if you're Jewish background, Gentile background, male, female, whatever your cultural group is, language group, everybody becomes part of the family exactly the same way. You get in or you get into the family by faith in Christ Jesus. Everyone knows what it feels like to be on the outside. Everyone. Look at me, please. This is not anything negative. This is factual. There's not a person in this room that hasn't been at places where you feel like you're not part of the group. You're not. How do I get in the group? Maybe you feel or it's true. Maybe you're not smart enough. You know, I'm sorry, not everybody can be in the math club. Hello? You say, I'm just not smart. Or maybe, not in my case, of course, but maybe you're not good looking enough. You know, that's the good looking ones club, and you're in the other group. Maybe you're not skilled enough. Maybe you're not gifted enough. Maybe in certain cultures and in countries, you don't have the right last name. Or frankly, maybe you have the wrong skin color. You need to have a different skin color to get in the cool kids club. Every single person knows what that feels like. Now friends, I've been all over the world. It helps me, and I also am not real sensitive. So I've been in many different environments where people look at you like this. What are you doing here? I went to a funeral many years ago in North Chicago in a so-called black church. There ought not to be black churches or white churches, but we have them. And I was the only white guy there. Did you say, does that make you feel uncomfortable? Honestly, not a bit. But I don't really like people looking at you thinking, and you can see it. Not everybody, not even most people. It's like, what are you doing here? Okay. Well, look at me, friend. I know why I'm part of the family of God. By faith in Jesus Christ. Every single person gets in the same way. So you say, Pastor, I'm not very smart. Well, I don't see that as a requirement. I'm not good looking. Well, I'm going to say this. Please don't get offended. I find humans in general ugly. If you look in the mirror and think you're good looking, you need to get a new mirror. I look in the mirror and it's like if I suck it all up and you know, stand at a certain angle, it's like I'm not vomiting. But past that, it's like, yuck. But you say, Pastor, I'm not good. By the way, skilled enough, gifted enough, don't have the right name, don't speak the right language. None of that's significant. In your notes, very simple, friend. Stuff that I love. Everyone gets in or gets into the same way. Every single person. In your notes, it's because of Christ. No one will go to heaven, pretend, it ain't going to happen. Knock on the door. Why do you want in here? Well, I'm white, or I'm black, or I'm poor, or I'm rich. None of that's going to be important. By the way, friend, there's only one key. That's the key. You say, what's the key? Christ. Christ alone. That's the key in the door. There is no other key. In your notes. And of course, this is obviously, it is by faith alone. All of us get in by faith alone. Faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. And I say this and I mean this. Can I say this? I listen to people. I shouldn't. I listen to people, and we do one of two things. There are many people that feel less than. And you listen to, I'm not very smart. Nobody wants to say they're not very pretty, though most of us aren't very pretty. We have all this, or we do the opposite. We try to find a way of making ourselves more important and putting people down. Friend, I say in your notes, it's not by good works. Look at me.
Everybody do this. When I say that, that's what everybody thinks. The problem is you're defining works in the wrong way. It's not anything about you that gets you into heaven. Nothing. It's not of good works or good looks or good brains or good genetics or good education or good anything. We get there because of Christ alone. The key is simple faith alone, in Christ alone, opens the door to the family of God. We all get in or into the family the same way, by faith alone. It's not good works and it's not good looks. It's not good anything. It's Christ alone, in your notes. Galatians, of course, focuses on this. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. But we've heard that in Baptist circles. We're not paying attention. And then you go out into the society and all of a sudden, look at me, you go out into society and you're not welcome and you don't know what to do with yourself. Well, if you're part of the family of God, you're in the greatest society ever. You don't have to worry about people not liking you. Somebody didn't invite you to their party. Who cares? I'm going to a better party. I'm part of a better family. I'm part of the greatest family on earth. But I'm only here because of Christ, by faith alone. That's it. Well, that's what Paul says here. It's not by justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, Paul puts himself in this, have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Why? For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians 3:11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, it is obvious. Why? Because the scripture says, Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Friends, I pastored it. I have not done it in this church. This is a very different environment than I pastored in St. Louis. At a certain economic status, you're not cool unless you go golfing. You're just not cool. Now, in this area, you want to try to impress people, you go golfing. But in certain areas, golfing is part of life. One of the men in my church in St. Louis, Bob Darrington, he's with the Lord many years now. Bob came to me one day and said, Pastor, you want to go golfing with me? And I looked at him and it's like, I think I had been golfing once or twice before. Excuse me. I just lied to you. There were balls and golf clubs involved. I wouldn't call it golfing, okay? I'm not exactly Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods could beat me at age 3, okay? I've never golfed, but when I was up in this neck of the woods, I think I went golfing once or twice with Jerry Godshaw, I think. Bob says, why don't we go? And I said, I can't golf. I don't even know the rules. He said, I'll go golf and you just hit buckets of balls. I said, how hard can hitting a ball be? I love baseball and softball and I can hit them. I still remember, you know, he showed me how to, you know, hook your hands and, you know, and all this stuff that you have to do. And it's similar to baseball, except you're swinging this way. You're not swinging, you know, down or up. But anyhow, it's kind of the same. And I stood there and actually still remember, had the ball on the tee. I hit the ball. It might have gone 2 feet dribbling over here. You look around. You know what you do? You look around and hope nobody's watching. Then I put the ball back, and finally I got where I could hit it. And by the way, I could hit a ball a long way in those days. Long way. But then I learned that, you know, real golfers don't hit the ball a long way. They hit the ball a long way exactly where they want it to go. So for me, I could hit it 300 yards. I couldn't hit it, but it was fun. I think I did 2 or 3 buckets of balls. It was fun. Then at the end of the day, Bob says, why don't we go putt? You all know what a four-letter word is. P-U-T-T is a four-letter curse word. I went up there, and you see all these great, I remember watching Jack Nicklaus as a kid and Tiger Woods as an adult, and, you know, they're putting from, you know, the other county over here. I'm putting 3 inches away and missing. How does that work? That's not my story. I think I went with Bob Darrington twice. One day Bob said, would you like to come here more often? I said, what's my question? What does it cost? The place he went in the 1980s, I believe, was somewhere between $20,000 and $40,000 to get a membership. I'm looking at Bob Darrington. I'm like, do you know how much money I don't make? And then that wasn't the problem. I didn't have that kind of money, but maybe I could have robbed a bank. Then he said, you have to pay fees every year, $2,000 to $5,000 fees. Who is golfing for? It's either wealthy people or people that on the way up. So by the way, if you golf, God bless you. I hope you golf well. If I ever golf with you, I might hit you with the club. You never know. You say, why'd you tell the story? I felt like this. I was a man on the outs because, frankly, I didn't have that kind of money. Look at me in the eyes.
Hey.
It's time that some people in this room got over all your deficiencies. Because every person that comes to Christ, the law points out you are deficient. You're a sinner. You're not worthy of getting in. Well, then how do we get in? We all get in the same way. Because of Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, we get in. It's not about how much money we have or how smart we are, how pretty we are, or how pretty we think we are, or whatever we do to make ourselves feel good. I think Paul was overwhelmed that he, the chief of sinners, could get in the family of God by faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the beauty of the gospel. By faith alone, in Christ alone, we get into the family. Number two. Verse 27 adds a layer to this. And friends, anytime you preach a sermon, you look around, I wish they and they were here. This is the reason. If you're a Christian, you use things you learn to talk to other people, because there's people that need to hear this that are not here. I can't tell everybody. You'll have it in notes. What does baptism do? Well, baptism doesn't get you any place. Baptism is once you're already into the family of God, then you get baptized, and baptism, in my way of thinking, does this. We stand out as family members by baptism. Baptism is something that follows salvation that causes us to stand out, and we'll see many verses on this. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, look at the language, have put on Christ. Put on is just simply a word that means, everybody look at me, means to put on clothing. Baptism doesn't get you in the family. Christ gets you in the family. But baptism, once you're in the family and you get baptized, it's a way of putting on Christ so everybody knows I am saved, I'm part of the family of God. I am public. I am out there. I stand out as a member of the body. It is that initial way of standing out as Christians. Ade, you sent me videos a couple times of the church that we helped with the parsonage. I love what the pastor said at that muddy place. They baptized. I think I've seen two baptisms. One of them was in a mud hole. Those are my favorite. You've got to be serious. You know, you got to be serious to get baptized in a mud hole. I got baptized in Otter Creek. Folks, Otter Creek is, when it's wet, is deep. But when it's not wet, it's just pools. But on those pools, you will see this motion. And there's only one snake we have that swims in water. Water moccasins, and they're poison. I still remember. I had gotten saved. Pastor Varbel talked to me about baptism. I wanted to get baptized, and I had two thoughts. He's going to drop me, and I'm going to go down the river, go down to the Mississippi River and drown. I don't know why I had that thought. My second thought is, what about water moccasins? Friends, Ade, when I saw that picture of those folks getting baptized and they were promising to follow Christ till the end of life, that's it. You stand out. Baptism says, I am identifying with Christ. This is my uniform, Christ alone. I follow him. I trusted him. I believe in him. It is Christ. That's baptism. In your notes. Friends, I'm not going to prove any of these. I want you to write them down, and then I'm going to read the verses and see if the verses prove what I'm saying. Baptism always follows salvation. Always follows salvation. Now, if you grew up in certain organizations, and baptism will come up. Some people believe that baptism saves you. If you're a Tridentine Roman Catholic, you believe that baptism washes away original sin. That's the reason you baptize babies. Some people believe you baptize babies. Some people believe that baptism is by sprinkling. Some people believe that it's faith plus baptism plus other things that save you. But in the Bible, it's real simple. We'll look at the text. Baptism always follows being saved. You get saved, then you get baptized. Secondly, baptism points back. Well, I skipped some. Forgive me. It's faith, salvation, baptism. Thirdly, baptism is always of believers. It's always of believers. Technically, it's called this. It's credo baptism, not pedo baptism. Everybody look at me. When you walk out of here this morning, can you remember two words? We believe in credo baptism. Why credo? Because credo means I believe. We baptize believers. I believe. Pedo baptisms, did I tell you this connects? Look back up at the top of your notes, verse 24. About the schoolmaster, the first portion of that verse is the word paedia, which is the word for child. We believe in baptism of those who believe. I believe and am baptized. Pedo baptism baptizes babies. The problem is there's no baptism of babies in the New Testament. Credo baptism is we baptize believers. Pedo baptism, which isn't baptism, pedo getting children wet is getting children wet. Baptism is always of believers. So let me state those three again. It always follows salvation. It's faith, salvation, and then baptism. Baptism is always of believers. Technically, that's called credo baptism, Latin, or at least Latin-ish. And the second part is pedo baptism, the baptism of babies. We don't practice that because the Bible doesn't. Next, baptism is by immersion. I should say only by immersion because some churches will do all different kinds. By the way, Pastor, what if I went to a church that baptized by sprinkling as a child? Do I have to get rebaptized? No. Because if you get baptized as a child, you didn't get baptized. You got wet. Because baptism is of believers, always. And it's always by immersion. Now, if you prefer and you would like to get baptized twice, I don't have a problem. If you've been baptized by immersion as a believer, I'll baptize you again. And in your case, I'll hold you under for a long time. So it really takes this time. But no, friends, baptism is of believers. It's by immersion, meaning this. We'll look at it in a minute. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. We're identifying with Christ. Let's continue. Baptism is only by immersion. Next, baptism points back. It always points back. It points back to salvation. Baptism is a demonstration to everyone that you've been saved. It's pointing back to what Christ did for you when you trusted Christ. That's the whole point. Baptism points back to salvation. Baptism, and this is important, is public. It's never private. You say, what about Acts 8? We don't have time to discuss every verse in the Bible, but it was still public. Other people could have seen it. A private baptism, you would have to ask, why do you want to get baptized in private when the whole point of baptism is that public testimony showing the world, identifying with Christ publicly. So baptism points back to salvation. It's public, never private. Baptism, and this is very important in Galatians 3:27, identifies us with Christ. It identifies us with Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The reason we do by immersion is because when someone is baptized, and by the way, there's people here that haven't been baptized. Everybody look at me. Have you ever wondered that I don't put pressure on every little kid to get baptized? I actually want to make sure you're saved. I actually want to make sure this, that you are a believer. I actually want this, that you personally want to testify and identify with Christ and what Christ did for you. Not in baptism. That is a symbolic way of demonstrating what saves me? Christ's death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection. And we identify with that. That's the point of baptism. So baptism points back to salvation. Baptism is public, never private. Baptism identifies us with Christ. We put on Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is a public testimony of faith in Christ. Where I'm from, used to be, I doubt if it's that way anymore, people used to come that didn't go to church for baptisms because it was a big deal. That person was publicly identifying that, yes, I'm a Christian. It's a big thing. Baptism points back also to our union with Christ, that we are in Christ. And that happens at salvation. Lastly, baptism makes us stand out as believers and are followers of Christ. Friends, we just went down a list. Now we're going to read quickly the verses and see if the verses sound like what I have just said. Things like baptism always follows salvation. Baptism is always of believers. It's by immersion. It points back. It's public. It identifies us with Christ. It's a public testimony. It points back to our union with Christ. It makes us stand out as believers and followers of Christ. Well, the Great Commission, go you therefore and teach, meaning teach the gospel, make disciples. What happens then? That group of people that have become disciples, what do? You then baptize them. Baptism follows salvation. Acts chapter 2, the beginning of the church. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. That's the other side of faith. Turn from what you've been trusting. Turn from your sins and come to Christ and trust Christ. That's the only way. And then it says, listen. Salvation precedes baptism. Baptism follows salvation. Once you repented, you're baptized. But hold it. I think everybody in this room is missing the point of Acts 2. Please look at me. Acts chapter 2 happened on the day of Pentecost, means 50. Yes? 50 days or so after Christ was crucified, Peter said to them, I don't want you to pray some prayer so you go to heaven someday. I want you to publicly turn from your sins and your false beliefs to Christ. Trust Christ. Look at me. And I want you to publicly identify with the name of Christ. This ain't a joke. By the way, the name of Christ, you know the one that you all just crucified? You know the one that the Romans are still looking for a body? You know the ones that was crucified by the... I want you to publicly identify with him. By the way, it doesn't save you. It follows the faith and repentance, but it's part of the process. It makes us stand out. Can you imagine publicly 3,000 people publicly were baptized, identifying with the crucified Savior that was crucified, buried, and rose again? That's baptism. Let's keep reading. Verse 29. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And by the way, that's exactly what it sounds like, election. And with many, by the way, as many as our Lord our God shall call to faith in Christ. Verse 20, and with many other words, telling you this wasn't the whole sermon, and many people were speaking, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this twisted, untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word, gladly received the gospel. After they received the gospel, they were baptized. Public testimony, identifying with Christ, following salvation. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 16, verse 30. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "This is what you do." By the way, he already knew he was a sinner. He was thinking of killing himself. He was scared to death. They just simply said, "You need to believe or trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved." Oh, by the way, and if your family trusts, they'll be saved too. Verse 32. And they spoke unto him the word of the Lord, and they spoke the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. No babies were baptized. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, immediately, straightway. Why? Faith in Christ, then baptism. One points back to salvation. I mean, I don't need to keep saying this. And it says in the last verse, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat or food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with what? All of his house. Acts chapter 12, another concept. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Faith, baptism. They're separate issues. One gets you into the family. One makes you stand out as a family member. I am identifying with Christ. I am telling the whole world my only hope is Christ alone. That's the faith. Acts 8:36. The Ethiopian eunuch. By the way, I'm assuming Ethiopian, you know, modern day Sudan, Queen Candace. He was a eunuch, Jewish to some degree, came up to there and got caught up by, he didn't know about this guy, but verse 36, this old Philip, the Holy Spirit brought Philip to him and says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, stop everybody, stop, see if I can get your attention. See this water? Do you think anybody was going through the desert without water? He had canteens, he had water. He had enough water to..." That's not baptism, that's mythology. He said, "Look, here's some water," meaning enough water to be baptized in. There's some small people in this room, but none of you are capable of being baptized in this much water. He said, "Look, there's some water here. Look what it says. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" There's controversy about elements of this verse, but that's another time. Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Verse 38. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down. By the way, that literally means what it says. Look at me. They went down into the water. Both of them. Into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. By the way, we have said baptism is of believers, it's by immersion, it's after salvation, of course. Verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, by the way, you get the literal, just physical. They went down into it, they come up out of it. Of course, that's baptism as a New Testament Christian. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 16:14. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. She was what's called a God-fearer, some Gentile person connected to the Jewish synagogue. She was not yet a believer. It says, when she heard us, Luke is including himself, whose heart, what? The Lord opened. By the way, for everybody that's here, tonight I'm going to start a 4 to 5 week series on the will of God. Tonight is going to be called the Church of the Open Door. We're going to deal with the subject, look at me, of open doors in the New Testament. It'll be very helpful for you. But this is one of those cases where the Lord opened her heart, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She got the message. Verse 15, and when she was what? By the way, say, what has to happen for a person to get saved? Please look at me, friend. You know how long I've been preaching? A couple weeks. I have seen people get it. I've seen other people go to sleep. I can preach. I can pray. I can weep. I can yell. I can run around this building. I can't open a single person's heart. God can. And if you have a friend that's unsaved, you better be praying that God opens their heart, because otherwise they're as closed as a... But by the way, when the Lord opened her heart, she got it. And she then followed the Lord in baptism. Baptism follows salvation, points back to salvation. It's of believers who have already believed. It's by immersion. It's a way of identifying and publicly identifying with Christ. Acts 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed. And what happened after they had faith? They were baptized. Union with Christ is Romans 6. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his what? In somewhat of a, you know, little hard to explain, when you get saved, you literally have union with Christ, and you partake of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He says, you were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should then walk in newness of life. Everybody look at me. Are you with me? How do you get into the family? Pull your wallet out. You got. By the way, we have golf clubs just south of us that probably no one in this room could afford the entrance fee. Plus, look at me, the entrance fees also require something. They require two recommendations from somebody already in the club. So it's not only what you have, it's who you know. I have heard that one of the clubs not too far away is $100,000 to get in membership, plus the two people that you don't know. Got the money? By the way, here's the beautiful thing. By the way, welcome to the family. By the way, the family looks a lot more like Caleb Stein's family than most families. It's going to be everything there. How do we get in? We all get in the same way. We get into the family by faith alone in Christ alone. What's baptism? Baptism follows, and that's when we stand out for Christ. We publicly tell people, this is my salvation, this is my hope. And by baptism, we identify with his death for our sins, his burial, his resurrection. That's Christianity. There's one last question to ask. How do you fit in? Let me ask you, you ever been to a place where you don't fit in? Let's ask a second question. You ever been to a place where you're not welcome? Tony Cardenas told me the story. And by the way, if you have racial tendencies, dial them down. Tony Cardenas, one of my good friends, I love the guy to death. When he was in our church, this is a long time ago, he left here in 2000, I think. 2001, I think 2000. That's unbelievable. Tony was in the United States Army. He was a military officer, a warrant officer. He and his wife, lovely Racalita, one of my favorite people, went out to Virginia. Now look at me. He's a Christian, a real Christian. He's an American. He's an officer in the United States Army, and he's a deacon in this church. He goes to a church in Virginia on a Sunday morning, he and Rachel. Now, obviously, Tony and Racalita are Spanish-speaking Tejanos from Texas. They look, can I say this without anything else? They look like Mexicans. They go into this church, and the church is white. And by the way, Tony is just a good guy. He doesn't think this way. He goes in, and he has people doing this. And he started noticing the entire church did not welcome him. Of course, I don't consider that a church. I consider that an abomination. But I'm going to ask you a question. You're part of Lake County. What makes you fit in here? I'm going to share that now. Let's keep reading. I say, number one, we get in or get into the family by faith alone. We stand out as family members by baptism, following salvation. And thirdly, we fit in the family for one reason, Christ. Look what the text says. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. Why? For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about what happens at salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which makes you part of the family of God, the body of Christ. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. In your notes, it's really simple. We are brothers and sisters because of Christ. That's what makes us fit in. I know this is going to sound funny. Look at me. I got a question. Do you do this in your... My family is terrible about jokes. My wife's family doesn't have any kind of the bad humor that my family has. It is the norm, not the abnorm, between my two sisters and me. Sooner or later, if we're in a conversation, we're going to say, Shirley, I think you were adopted. Or, I think you were switched at birth. Do you guys do that in your family? It's just normal conversation for us. Some families do other. That's just, you say, what does it mean? If you have to ask me what it means, you don't get the humor. It doesn't mean anything. It's just what we say to each other. Rita, I think you might be the oldest, but I think you come from another birth parent. You know, it's just on and on, the ridicule, the fun. And by the way, it's obviously... If you've seen Jesse and you've seen me, you know we're not related. We have nothing in, except those little eyes where you can't see his eyes when he smiles. Nothing alike. By the way, friend, but what makes you fit in the family of God? Do we all look alike? You know there's people. Look, there's people in this room that eat rice. I was 18 years old. I had never had a bite of rice in my mouth. I really thought rice, I had it a handful of times as a pudding. I go into the Navy and they just, yuck, what is that stuff? There's people who eat all kinds of strange things. Linda, I'm not even going to talk about, I'm talking about Linda Nunga. She'll introduce you to the bad stuff, by the way. What makes us part of the family of God? Look at me. We're brothers and sisters because of Christ. Let me just fill this in. I love this. I hope you do. By the way, we're part of the same family. There's only one family. Would you believe we have a demon got in my notes. The same family. We have the same father also. Yes or no? We have the same salvation. And here, by the way, it isn't enough to say I'm a Christian. Remember, when you get saved, you're entering into a family that has its own set of rules. It's called the law of Christ. So we also have the same laws. So when I'm with Christians, this is what I expect. I expect everybody to have the same father, be part of the same family, and live by the same laws by the way, let me be ugly. There isn't one group of laws for black folk, one group of law for white folk, one group of law for Filipinos. We all got the same laws, the same teaching. We all submit to the same Christ. You say, the unity is not that we look the same, smell the same, cut our hair the same, and in some cases have hair. none of that matters. No, we're brothers and sisters because of Christ. We're in the same family. We have the same Father. We have the same salvation. We have the same laws. And I like this one. We have the same standing. It is exactly the same. It's not like this. You come in, and if you're a certain group of people, I guess you can be part of us, but you can't be important part of us. And, all right, maybe we'll let you come here, but you can't be up here. By the way, in the family of God, we all have the same status. We have three pastors. One of them is out preaching this morning. He's a Filipino. Where did he come from? I thought Filipinos were all three steps down. No, friend, we all have exactly the same status. We have the same Father. We have the same everything. It's the oneness in Christ, which includes, by the way, the laws of Christ. Well, I'll touch on these last two and be done this morning. We have the same relationship with God. My friend, your relationship with God can be just as wonderful as any person in this room. You know, everything is the same. And my last one, and this is important, the same love. The same love. I say in your notes, there are no second-class kind. There's no second-class kind. You say, what does that mean? Look at me, friend. Families can be bad. Did you know that? Look at me. Do you know there are families, Filipinos? This is a cultural habit where we have a favorite child. Hello? And then what are the other ones? Less favorite? Now, I never had this problem. I have a favorite daughter and I have a favorite son. I also have a least favorite daughter and a least favorite son. It's according to the day. But there are families where, oh, that's the favorite one. Or, listen, friends, you come into the family of God because how do you get there? By faith alone in Christ alone. You come in, you identify with Christ, you follow Christ. We all have exactly the same standing before God. Yes, we're still different. By the way, 10 million years from now, we'll still have those differences, but there will be no sin attached. You fit in because of Christ. And I want to say this. If you go to a church where you don't fit in, call the church out for its sin and racism, because that's what it is. God's family has the same standing, period. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the beauty of what we have in Christ. And Lord, thank you that there aren't several ways in where some people, because they have money, they can buy their way in, or beauty, they can beauty their way in, or brains, they can outsmart other people, or whatever. We all come through the same door, Jesus Christ alone. And we identify by baptism with the same Lord, and we follow him in exactly the same way. And for these things, I say, thank God. Thank God. In Christ's name.